We thank you, Lord, for tonight and the opportunity we have to come tonight to look at your word and to think about the importance of living like Jesus. We pray that you would help us in the days you give us until you come to live as you would want us to live and to live in Christ-likeness and to demonstrate godliness in our own lives. Help us to know the tools and the ways to do that so that we might overcome and have victory in our lives. We pray for all the Bible studies and the ministry life of this church tonight going on all across the place from our youngest of children and preschoolers all the way to adults. We thank you for the pastors and teachers and leaders who lead out in all kinds of places tonight. Grant us your grace and mercy so that we might know and understand your word. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray 20 years later, now thinking back to 9/11, we think about all of those families who still to this day are affected by those terrible days in the life of our country. We pray for them tonight. Pray for them that we might be a people, a believers in a country who shine our light so that others might find their way to Jesus. And so we pray for them tonight. Thank you now for the time in your word. What a privilege it is for us to be able to read the Bible in our own language and to have the Holy Spirit to teach us. What a privilege. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good to see all of you tonight. And make sure you pick up the outlines that are scattered around. It's good to see all of you. And tonight we begin something new. And I do want to mention at the beginning because our class has, we've divided. We've had a division. We've had a Baptist division. A good one, though. We had our first noonday Wednesday this morning. It gives people an opportunity to come who may, for a lot of reasons, may not want to be able to come at night or can't come. So we had 38 this morning. So we had a good group this morning. They started, I call them the traders. It's the trader group. They used to come on Wednesday night, old school way, but the traders have now left us. And they said, good riddance to all of you. What's that, Stuart?
I was going to say, we got 29
here. We're all right. We're doing good. And we also have those online. May the Lord bless you. We always have a good group who join us online. And we love you. We know that many of you cannot come. And we thank the Lord for you. All right, so I'm going to introduce something to you tonight. And I also had one of our school teachers this morning come up and say, now, Pastor Mike, it kind of gave me a stomach ache. I thought I was back in school. She said, give me your paper. What? She wanted me to show her my paper. Do you see anything wrong with that paper? And she was on me this morning. I'm not going to tell you who it was. There's a misspelled word on that paper. Yes, ma'am. Did anybody else find it? Okay, so note it so that you don't have to come tell me after it's over. Centered is centered. It doesn't, we know how to spell centered, all right? So it is properly spelled here, but not on your paper. So I got over my fear of the teacher asking for my paper. That was a scary thing. I used to say, the dog ate it. I don't have my paper. So tonight we begin to talk about something. I'm going to introduce something to you. Most of you, I don't think there's probably anybody who has heard this like I'm going to be trying to teach you. But what we're going to be doing is talking about living like Jesus and how we do that. How do we do that? And it will take us a while to do it, and we'll be doing this, and I'll be bringing you along with some different... It'll be a different kind of teaching, but I believe we all need it. No matter how long we've walked with Jesus, I hope you'll invite some others who might want to come and be with us. They have two opportunities to do it. I'm anxious to have as many of our people hear me talk about this because it is important. So I'm giving you a chart here, and I'm going to just keep it up here the whole time while we're doing this. Three lines with these angles. So if you can imagine moving this way, what would that be? Counterclockwise? So imagine that. So the line first ascending to the top reminds us of ordinary life events and the troubles and trials of life. We're going to talk about that in a minute. As a result, that's what's happening to everybody in this room. It's what's happening to everybody who hears my voice. All of us, nobody in here is exempt from troubles and trials and temptations. So we'll be reminded of that in Scripture here in a moment. But this is not the only thing going on in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit of God is working. In the midst of all of our troubles up here at the top, we find this line coming back down. And the Holy Spirit is working in our lives as a result of what's going on and the circumstances of our life. We don't choose them. That's why on Sunday mornings I'm spending the time I am talking about hope and despair. A lot of our people, you know, as your pastor, I can just tell you, a lot of our people struggle. Why is God putting me through this? It's a misunderstanding of the Word of God. So we have to get to the bottom of this and understand the purpose of trials and tribulations and troubles in our life. Well, then at the bottom, this comes back to this horizontal line, and it describes what we're calling planned discipline to put on a new heart. And as a result of this process, and this is always going on in your life and mine as Christians, in the center, what develops is the mind of Christ and Christ-likeness. We become like Jesus Christ. We'll never be perfectly like Jesus Christ as a Christian, but we're to grow. We're to grow in our Christ-likeness. So with that said, now looking around, I know most of you very well, you need your Bibles, of course, every time, and we're going to be looking at some verses that are familiar tonight, but stay with me. I'm laying the groundwork tonight for what we'll really build on over the weeks ahead, and I hope you'll really be with me as much as you can, because I'm excited about us getting to talk about this. So first of all, let's look at they're classic Bible passages about troubles. You came to church tonight, and what am I going to do? Talk about trouble. That's okay. That's where we talk about trouble. So let's go to Romans 5, first of all. Romans chapter 5. We've been looking at this also, and I've been mentioning it on Sunday mornings when we talk about hope and despair. This is the irony. When do I gain hope in my life? When everything's good? No, actually, hope rises when everything's the worst. I don't think you heard me. Hope rises when everything's the worst. Amen. This is the contradiction. People look at us and say, how can you be like you are as a Christian when all this is happening in your life? Ah, I'm glad you asked me that question. So we read here, Romans 5, 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're saved. We're justified by our faith in Christ, just as if we had not sinned. And what happens? We now have peace with God. We're no longer enemies with God. We're not at war with God. We're not rebels. We have peace with God. We're at peace now. Through whom also we have obtained an introduction by our faith into this grace in which we stand. So we live by faith. And we live by grace, the grace of God. We've been introduced to something new. We got saved by faith. We're justified. We have peace with God. And now we have the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All the graces of God that He gives to us. He pours them out upon us. In which we stand. We stand in this grace. Now notice, and we exult. I'm reading from the New American Standard. We exult. That is, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's always what we do. We celebrate the glory of God and we hope in it. But then, not only this. This is what seems to be the contradiction. We love that first part of 1 and 2. Not only this, but we also exalt in our troubles, tribulations. Knowing, notice there's a word here. This is a knowledge thing. This is knowledge that every believer must have. Knowing that tribulation brings, the Greek word is the word to produce, produces endurance or perseverance. And as tribulation produces perseverance, it also produces then, as we persevere and we endure, guess what happens? Proven character starts to develop in our life. We have character, we have godliness that starts to rise, Christ-likeness, and proven character is hope. You know, your character isn't proven until you have trouble. When the pressure's on, that demonstrates what's really in your life, and your behavior is always evidenced by how you react and respond. What is proven character? Well, it's only proven when you have troubles. That's what Paul's saying. And then notice, proven character starts to bring hope, and hope never disappoints us. Because look at this. We've seen it. I've mentioned it over and over in the mornings recently. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There is a love relationship between the believer and God like there's never been. It's a glorious thing. So we have this wonderful truth about the love of God being poured out to us. In trouble, we have hope because we start to sense. This is what I was really trying to work toward on Sunday. Do you feel the love of God? It's not just an intellectual category. It's not just a philosophy and an idea. Do you have a warm heart because you know God loves you? Do you know God loves you? God loves me regardless of the troubles that come in my life. The Holy Spirit is active. See, this is the point. Trouble rises, and the Holy Spirit reminds me again, you are loved by God. You are loved by God. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit pours out the power of God here. It says the Holy Spirit pours out on our hearts. That is our feelings, our emotions, our mind. He puts this in our mind. I hope that you are gripped by the love of God for you. Amen. Look, your children know you love them. Your children know it. Do you know that God loves you? That's what I was asking the other day. Well, I could go on, but I want to move on. James chapter 1. What's the other famous one? You know this, James chapter 1. Some of you in here have taught this and preached it. James chapter 1, here's a mind word again. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider. Here's something you need to consider. This is a mental way of thinking. Consider it all joy. A-L-L. James 1, 2. Consider it all joy. What? When I lose my job? When I get sick? When I have cancer? When something happens terrible in my family, when someone I love dies, when things go horribly wrong in the world and there's persecution, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter, that's a great word, encounter various trials, knowing, here we go again, here's something you know, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And here's a very important insight. You may have endurance, but do you let endurance do what it's supposed to do? See, endurance has a function in your Christian development. If we're using the fancy word, in your sanctification, in your being made holy, let endurance have its, notice, perfect result. So that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That doesn't mean that you become perfect, but it means that you become mature. How does maturity come? Through the testing of your faith and allowing endurance to have its way. Oh, I don't think I can take this anymore. I was just talking to my brother. What did we see in the Psalm Sunday? How long? How long? How long? Yes, how long? It's a prayer about endurance. How long? How much can I take? Why? Let endurance have its perfect work. And then we come to the famous one in 1 Peter. Right? Just over a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Wonderful words. Blessed be the God. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. I'm born again. I'm saved and I'm living by hope. Amen. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then he goes on, talks about our inheritance in heaven, reserved for us in verse 4. We're protected by the power of God through our faith. We trust God and God's power protects us. And then notice, this is those famous words, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary. Here we are tonight. I'm looking around at all of you. You're looking at me. Most of us know each other well enough to know that we all have troubles and trials. Even though now, if for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed. That's for Christians. Distressed by various trials. Notice 7. This is that very powerful. So that the proof of your faith. What proves my faith? What proves my character? Trouble. Not good times. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we have all of this going on. What's happening in my life? The Lord taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. You know, lead us not into temptation. Every one of us, every day we live in a fallen world, and the Lord told us, we all know this in this room, in this world you will have trouble. But the Lord said, rejoice, I've overcome the world. You're having trouble, you've had trouble, and you will have trouble. Yes. As long as you live in this world. Amen. And my brothers aren't amening because they're happy to have troubles. They're just affirming the truth of that. Please don't misunderstand their amens. And I love you guys, that's good, you're doing it. It doesn't mean, amen, I'm just glad everybody's having a miserable time. That's not what they mean by their amens. Now we move to the work of the Holy Spirit. So all of this is happening to me. Pick your character, Abraham, Job. Oh, by the way, do you think the Lord Jesus ever had a troubled day?
Yes, every day.
Every day. Every day He walked on the earth was a day of trial and trouble. You want to be like Jesus? Well, we join Him in His sufferings. We understand that living a life of faith is contradictory to the world. Now Romans 8, let's go back to Romans. We go to these famous verses. Romans chapter 8, I love getting to do these. And these are, we're doing a speed read on them tonight, but because I want to move around and go to some other things. But I want you to see these. These are important for us to lay the ground foundation. I'm only going to refer to Romans 8 tonight, but Galatians 5 is the famous chapter on the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. But here I want you to read this. This is, now you've got to really, really read this with me carefully, because Paul writes in layers. You know, he writes in layers. So one thing connects to another, to another, to another. So you have to read it carefully. And I'll read it a little slower, but I want you to follow me. All right? So let's go back up here and let's notice in verse number 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Praise the Lord. No longer am I under the condemnation of the law. I'm no longer condemned to die and go to hell. I've been saved. I'm not condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. But then jump down to verse number 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk. And remember, some of you have been in the Bible a long time, some are new. When you see Paul use the word walk, he's talking about lifestyle. He's saying, you used to live according to the law. Boy, I better do this and be perfect, or I'm not going to get there. This is what people tell me all the time when I witness to them. Well, I'm just going to be good. What they're saying is, I'm going to do law things, and I'm going to get to heaven. No, you're not going to ever get there. And so he says, who do not walk according to the flesh, that is, I'm going to really put an effort into it, but according to the Spirit. You see, when you become a Christian, now you live according to the Spirit. May I say to you folks, remember this tonight? You are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. That's a real thing. That's not a category of thought or idea. It is a real thing. It's a real experience. So that when you wake up in the morning, you are possessed by God. The Holy Spirit of God has come to dwell in you as a result of being a Christian. For those who are according to the flesh, that is, they live according to the flesh, they set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So this is about our minds now and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in our minds. For the mind set on the flesh is death, verse 6, but the mind set on the Spirit, look at this. Where does life and peace come from? When we set our minds on the Holy Spirit's direction, guidance, leadership, teaching, instruction. See, it's important for us to learn how to live in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I need to talk to the church about this in the days ahead. I'm convinced of this. Life and peace come as we set our minds on spiritual things and on the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, doesn't subject itself to the law of God, not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh can't please God. However, now here we go. You are not in the flesh. All my brothers and sisters here tonight, if you're saved, all of you listening to us online, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God, notice, dwells in you. How does the Holy Spirit dwell in me? When I become a believer, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of me. He raised Jesus from the dead. He gives life to your mortal body through His Spirit. That is, now my body is used by God because I'm possessed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes control of me and the way I use my body. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation to the flesh, but to live according to the flesh. You don't have an obligation anymore to live like you used to live. Now you live a new way. Verse 13, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Notice it's setting your mind on the Spirit. It's putting to death your flesh. You see, there's a problem we have. The old me always wants to come back in my life. The old me before I knew Christ wants to come back. So what must I do? This is what we're talking about here. There are disciplines. I will call them habits. There are spiritual habits that all of us in this room must practice in order to kill the flesh, or you'll be back in the flesh. And what that means is you'll be a believer and you'll be compromised. You'll be living in sin again. Why does it shock Christians at church when we see people who once walked with God, who stop walking with God and go back and start having a mindset and living according to the flesh? It's because we don't practice some essential habits that we must have, and we must deal with our flesh every day. Now, Stuart over there is a master at outdoor care for landscape. He's a landscaping expert. But there's one thing he carries on his truck: weed killer. Do you know why he carries weed killer? Because you can spray it and it'll die, but it comes back. You know what my old flesh does? It wants to come back. My old self wants to come back. If you live by the Spirit, verse 13, this is a present tense, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. How do I live, Pastor Mike? Like Jesus, you got to kill your flesh every day. So that's what we're going to learn to do. How do we do it? Well, there are some ways that we do it. So now let's go to the next sheet, and I want you to see Colossians. And I'm going to just ask you to turn to Colossians 3. I've given you the outline of it tonight, worked through it for you, because I want you to see these things as we move along. Now, Colossians is a great book for you to read. It's a very small book, but Colossians, here's the background. Paul had never been to this church at a town called Colossae. So he wrote them a letter. And this letter is very good because it gives a great overview about the Lord Jesus and who He is and His glory and His work. But it also talks about how we live like Jesus. And that's chapter 3. From chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 17, we're talking about here becoming like Jesus. So for this remainder of our time, we're going to work through this together because I want you to see these very practical ways. But before we do, remember, look at the chart. Remember, this is what we'll be using. And I'm referring here to Colossians 3, but I'm going to start at verse 1 and go to 17. But notice, I got trouble. I'm going to have some trouble again. I'm in a world. I'm in temptations around me. I've got all this in the world that I'm dealing with. And as it rises, the Holy Spirit meets me and begins to help me, but I also practice some things. See, some people have said, well, I just have to let go and let God. That's true when you get saved. But when you become a Christian, you have to join God in the process of becoming like Jesus. We have to, Paul said it in a funny way, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not talking about being saved. He's talking about working out. That's right. He's talking about obedience and being like Christ. But here's the point. Folks, you don't earn salvation, but there's effort. You have to put effort into it. So I'm going to use the word habits. I think habits, if I use the word spiritual disciplines, people hate that. They hate disciplines. If you use practices, it can be misunderstood. But habits, we all have habits in this room. If you don't think you have habits in the way you get up in the morning, then tomorrow do your habits backwards that you do in the morning, and it'll drive you out of your mind. You'll go crazy. So what do we read here? First four verses. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, this is a description of being saved. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. There's so much here. But what do you start? What is the spiritual process for becoming like Jesus? Well, it's in the first four verses especially. Verse 5 is going to be a bridge. But I want you to see it. First, you set your mind on Jesus Christ. Look, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just asking you a question. How much time do you give to thinking about Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ? How much time do you think about His death, His passion? How much time do you think about His being the eternal Word of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, sent, glorious, eternal God, fully God, fully man, who came and lived like us, fully human, who has all the capacities to understand and be tempted just like us, but He chose not to do it, and then died, then rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is our great high priest living alive today, literally alive in a glorious place beyond time and space where we are going alive. How much do we think about the Lord Jesus? Again, a habit. This is a habit. Boy, I think about a lot of stuff. Can you imagine if you recorded all the things you've thought about today? When you first got up this morning, what did you start thinking about? If you've been raised with Christ, please notice this is a present tense verb. Keep seeking the things above. Seek grace. Seek His mercy. Seek His love. Seek His attention. Seek time with Him. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then set your mind on things above. Where's your mind? Most of the time, where is your mind? By the way, this is a habit. You have to develop the habit of what we call spiritual mindedness. It doesn't just happen. Well, I'm a Christian, so I'm going to think about spiritual things. Actually, it doesn't happen without discipline, without habits. Ricky is a golfer, and he's a good golfer. This guy's a good golfer. But I can guarantee you this. Ricky doesn't just play the game. He's always doing this. I see Ricky all the time doing this. What's he doing? What in the world is he doing? Does he have an arm ache? Has he got arthritis? What's he doing? He got his legs going. He's trying to beat Tom Herring, but Tom always brags that he's beating him. He's moving his legs around. What's he trying to do? He's practicing the habits of a golfer. It's your whole motion through to hit the ball. It's a habit. It's a habit. Set your mind on heavenly things where Christ is seated. So we're going to learn how to do that. How do you do that? Well, there are answers on how to do this. And my task as your pastor is to make sure that we've talked to you about how to do this. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. By the way, it doesn't mean don't be responsible and be an irresponsible person. Just sit around and think about heaven and be of no earthly value. That is not what he's saying here. Of course we're responsible. Of course we do what we're supposed to do. We keep our word, etc. The point is, this is how I develop into Christ's likeness. I set my mind on things above. When the Lord Jesus talked about things, He talked about heaven. He talked about God the Father. He talked about the kingdom of God. Set your mind on those things. Notice, for you've died. See, there's actually been a death when you became a Christian. You died. Mike Miller at 9, when I received Christ and prayed to receive Christ, the old Mike Miller, let me see, I had 4 sisters. I was always doing terrible things to them. I lied to my parents. I disobeyed them. I wasn't good at school. And I was a thief and a liar. How's that for a 9-year-old? I was a sinner, and I need to be saved. And once I prayed to receive Christ, the Lord saved me. And when I was put in the baptistry and I was put under the water, I'm still here today at 67. The bubbles, the preacher didn't hold me under till the bubbles stopped. I'm alive, but I'm a new person.
Amen.
The old Mike died, and so did you. Do you ever think about the fact that the old you is dead? You died, please notice, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you also will be revealed with Him. What's he talking about? Union with Christ. Recognize that you are spiritually united to Christ. Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you.
Amen.
Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. And where the Lord is, you are there. Though we're not in heaven completely, we are there spiritually united to Christ. I can't explain that. But that's the mystery of being in Christ. Finally, recognize your body is dead to the impulses and habits of sinful living. Now look, it takes a long time to undo and break bad habits, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You see, we've had a lot more practice living by bad sinful habits than we have living by spiritual habits, by planned discipline to put on a new heart. This is what we learn as a Christian. Therefore, verse 5, second therefore in Colossians 3, consider, here it is again, same word James used. Put this in your mind. Consider the members of your earthly body dead to all of these. This isn't an exhaustive list, it's just examples of sinful impulses and habits of sinful living. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also walked when you were living in them. And then what happens? We stop living by sinful fleshly habits. Verses 8 and 9. Put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. The old self is the old you. I never had any trouble when I was, when I was a person without Christ, even at 9, getting angry, having wrath. I didn't know these fancy words, but I acted it out. Slander, abusive speech, and lying. How many times have you said to your kids, are you lying to me? Are you telling me the truth? The old self likes to lie. Stop living. So there's some things we stop and there are some things we start. See, this is the point. Look, I'm doing all of this while I got all my trouble going on. Somebody says, well, if I can get rid of all the trouble, then I'm going to start living like a Christian. You never will. You never will. This is going to be going on. The churn, the heat, the pressure of trouble. But the blessed Holy Spirit is working inside of you and giving you the abilities, grace, and abilities with your effort included to put aside some old ways and put on some new ways. So start living daily renewed by a growing knowledge of Christ. Look, you can't grow like, you can't become more like somebody you never think about. Well, I want to be like Jesus. Well, when was the last time you focused on Him at all? Not saying, well, boy, so-and-so ought to be thinking about Jesus more. No, I need to be thinking about Jesus more. So this is the point of what he says here. in verse number 10, and put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. See, that's what we do. We measure ourselves to Christ and then we say, I need to be more like Jesus Christ, a renewal in which there's no distinction. It's not about Greek or Jew. It's not about classes of people. This renewal is one that comes on the inside as a result of, number one, a growing knowledge of Christ. So we're going to talk about, well, how do we do that? How do we grow in our knowledge of Christ? Start living with a heart of compassion. Notice, put on. And so those who've been chosen by God, I know a lot of people who are excited about being chosen by God. Okay, if you're chosen by God and you're holy and beloved, you have something to do. Amen. Put on a heart of compassion. Put on a heart of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's not a lot of that going around the world today. That's what we do. That's the way we live, regardless of how we're treated, because the Lord Jesus did. Start living and bearing one another's burdens, but it also means to put up with one another. Notice verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. You got to put up with each other, don't you? You got to put up with me, and I got to put up with you. We bear one another's burdens, and we forgive one another, and we put up with each other. If we have a complaint against anyone, just as Christ forgave us, we forgive. We stop complaining. I said to the group at noon what my grandmother used to say to me. I always was rather verbal. You can tell. Stop complaining. Go look at yourself in the mirror when you're complaining. That's what my grandmother Kirkendall would tell me. You ought to try it. If you're griping about something, go look in the mirror at what you look like when you gripe. Tell your kids to do that. And then what do, friends? We practice the habits of Jesus. This is at a different level now. Beyond all these, put it on. Put on. It's an assumed verb here. It's the same verb carried from verse 12. Put on love, agape, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let, verse 15, let, allow the peace of Christ to rule in your heart. Verse 16, allow the word of Christ richly to dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. And then what happens? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Please notice that reading and taking in the Word of God leads to worship and singing and praise. Amen. They always go together. Taking in God's Word, living and worshiping in thankfulness to God, and start living and practicing the presence of God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and start living devoted to prayer with alertness. With alertness. That's in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. How do we do all of this? By the way, you have homework, and you have 7 days to do it. Now, each week you're going to work on, you know, if Ricky goes and gets a golf lesson, he gets homework. He has to go back out there and do his homework. I will say this, it's just, it's time to go, but it's a true story. I had the opportunity, I was at this preacher meeting, and it was down in Orlando, Florida. This is years ago when Tiger Wood was a younger fellow. He lived in the area, and this was the golf course he played at. Well, we were there, and Tiger Woods was there practicing. It was about 8:30 in the morning, if I remember it right. And so we just, oh, there's Tiger Woods. You know, there we go. We went to our meetings. We went on, did what we were doing. We had the meals and everything out the golf course. And we came back at 3:30. And guess who was still on the practice range? 8:30, 3:30. And the golf people said he usually stays every day till about 4:30. 8:30 to 4:30. Practice. 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 To break bad habits, you have to replace them with good habits. To break fleshly habits, we need the Holy Spirit's help and a commitment we make to practice. So spend some time this week. Just do this practice. Spend some time in prayer, in your prayer times. Just add this to your time. I want you to do it, please. Thinking about Jesus Christ, your high priest in heaven, who knows your circumstances and hears your prayers. Another day, just take a little examination in your life. Are you being controlled by your fleshly habits, or how are your spiritual habits? Some of these we talked about in Colossians 3. You can use this list. How am I doing on compassion and kindness and humility and etc.? And then finally, make an effort this week to practice perhaps a specific habit of Jesus in your life. Here's the one for me this week. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Who was he asking God to forgive? Who was it? The men who crucified him. So we need to find our way to this. So what do we do? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. That's the goal that we have. When the mind is set on the Spirit, there's life and peace. Heavenly Father, I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters. Help us as we seek to live like Jesus. Bless the time we have together as you give it to us in the days ahead, so that we might learn these good spiritual habits that help us to get rid of our flesh and to live in victory and in life and peace in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.